People come to the Hampton Hub not just for the food. Teach-In Tuesdays is a weekly gathering that features expert guests invited to speak on a variety of topics. Learn what motivates the owners to be activists in their community. Joining us today is Tiro Mutembu, one of the co-owners. Tiro was raised in rural Saskatchewan, and he is the son of a political refugee from South Africa. Growing up on the prairies in a family that has very strong roots in progressive movements has driven him to strive for a more just and safe society for all that call Treaty 4 home. In this discussion, we will be looking at the amazing history church and faith has played in supporting progressive movements and how we best can serve our community today as it faces many challenges. Tiro.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you all. It's a real honor to be here. I grew up in Maple Creek. Just a little bit of background. My father came over as a political refugee in the mid-80s. We first settled, he met my mother, who was a prairie gal from Central Butte, Saskatchewan, and they met at university at U of S. My father was very active in the students' union, and my family moved around for a period of time. I was born in 1989, and in the early 90s, we settled in Maple Creek. I'm very proud of my South African heritage. I often get to talk about my father and his conviction and activism. That's definitely played a pivotal role in where my brothers and I are at. But it's a real joy to talk about faith. I forget to remind people about the Mutembu boys are Doris's boys, and my mother is a real woman of faith, and she is the guiding principle of me and my family, and often that's who I look to towards, who guides our next active activity in our community. My parents divorced when I was about 10, and one of the other things I'd say about my father that I've recently realized because of the Palestinian conflict in the Middle East right now is that he was a child soldier, and it wasn't easy for him to live in rural Saskatchewan. I think of him often. He's back in South Africa now, but my mom did the best that she could for having three children, mixed children, in the middle of a really tough situation. And my father, and with this Palestinian issue, I was just going to say that I remember waking up sometimes and hearing him have night terrors and I've actually started to develop some of those myself from the intergenerational trauma. And it's something that's guided me that I don't want my daughter to have. And so that's something that's super close to us as a family. But to my favorite subject, my mom. My mom is just an amazing single mom that truly puts her community first. And her faith has guided our family and put us in the position where we are today. I think that when I think about my mom, I think about giving and the role of giving in towards not only her church family, but her community. And one of her guiding principles that I always think of is when we give, we should not be thinking of anything that we're going to get in return. Our investment is what we get in our whole communal. My mom is not a very rich woman, financially maybe, but she is wealthy beyond means by the support that she's been able to get by giving so much to her community. Her community gives back to her, and I think that that's what we try to do as our business, is we try to live up to our mom's principles of giving to our community, giving what we can, and we're not looking for anything in return other than what we see in the smiles and satisfaction that we get from having a safer community. Also, that comes from community support. When you give, you gain from having that neighborhood love and knowledge of our neighbors. Another concept that I truly just love about my mother, and think that it's a direct reflection of where I see my baby brothers at. My brothers do overnight watches in our community, and as we know, we're facing an opioid crisis. We've had to revive several people throughout this last 6 months, and tragically, my brothers have walked up and found people passed away, and it's tough. We've also had a lot of you get sometimes in conflict. People that are, whether it's late at night, they're really struggling and they might lash out at you. I've witnessed that with my mom when I was a kid. I've seen some people that didn't want my mom's help or anything like that at the time. But unconditional love is a principle that I think of her faith that guides her, and my brothers as well, is even in the face of sometimes facing some really tough situations, always coming back and knowing that maybe that person didn't mean anything that day. Maybe don't take it so personal. Have thick skin. Understand that people are going through a lot of tough times, and having that unconditional love they'll come back the next time. I've seen it time and time again. My mom runs a dinner at her church, and people would be like, I hate this meal or whatever. My mom politely gives it to them, and then the next, maybe half an hour later, the person comes up and has a nice conversation with her. So I can't underestimate the unconditional love that I think that guides faith. And I know a lot of the people in this room that I know that have that unconditional love. So growing up in Maple Creek and to where I am now, I do see like a vast difference in our surroundings, in our communities. It's way more diverse than when I was a kid. And with that becomes that sometimes we're uncomfortable in new settings. I think that this anti-racism training that your church put on is a perfect example of trying to understand and meet community where they're at. Sometimes it's hard to try new things or understand where our new neighbors are from, but coming forward and leading with unconditional love and meeting people where they're at has really worked out for me and my family. As I took it, my mom's church, she actually recently left that one. I think about a church is not just a place of worship. A church is a family. And with that church family, how do you be a part of the broader community as a whole and keep people together? I've often found, and in this city and in this church as well, that you can feel the presence of a family when you come into some places of worship, and then you can feel sometimes, if you're an outsider, judged or unsafe. As you said, it's a wonderful sign that everyone wants to be in the front and close. It feels very family-like in this room, and I think that that's the role of a church, is to be a place where people not only come to worship, but places that are open door to the community, to welcome people in and meet people where they're at. So I was going to just talk about a little bit of faith leaders, or not faith leaders, pardon me, but the role that mutual aid and different progressive movements throughout the past have been directly, you can look at the ties to faith. So in South Africa, in the apartheid government, Bishop Desmond Tutu was a leader in the Catholic Church. Now, he didn't always agree with Nelson Mandela and other political groups at the time, but it was so important to put aside some of our differences and come together and mutually work for the betterment to fight apartheid. And that act of faith, I think that sometimes having someone that is tied to a higher power than just directly the day in, day out of the radical progressive movements helps guide the movement in general. Because I'll be honest, sometimes it gets tough when we run through highs and lows in the movements. But people of faith can always help guide that movement. And Bishop Desmond Tutu was a pillar for Nelson Mandela, Steve Biko, Robert Zabukwe, and the whole South African mission there. I look at the role of faith as it's played out in the States for the civil rights movement. All the brave young Catholic priests that headed from the north on the freedom rides. I look at the burning of Vietnam cards. If we look at progressive movements, we forget to think about the fact that Catholic priests were breaking into federal buildings to take draft cards and burn. I think that sometimes we think of the church and we think it's very nice. It can be radical. It can be the leader of many progressive movements. And it helps because the Black Panther Party in the States, who we're named after, one of the chairmen, Fred Hampton, often when you're outside of that scope, you fall victim to more scrutiny from other institutions, such as the police. And the church has a long, safe, more accepting culture. And in Chicago and throughout the Black Panther Party, the church, there's several different church leaders that helped give home while people were being persecuted by the law. The church gave them cover and hid them. Going back to another civil rights, or prior to that, if we look at the Underground Railroad, that was a lot of church groups. Lots of brave, brave church folks that were looking and faith-driven, that saw an injustice and put their livelihood on the line to make sure that that people were fed and safe. I'm a part of a mutual aid group. It's called Good Trouble. And Good Trouble is a statement that came from Martin Luther King Jr. and one of his disciples, John Lewis. And John Lewis had said, when you see something wrong, when you see something that's not right, say something, do something, get in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble. And I think that's the role of the church and faith, is to look and say, when we see something that's not right, where does our faith guide us? How are ways that we can use our church family to come together? How do we support our neighbors the best we can? And I think that when we look at this current situation in our city, I think there's a lot of ways that we can strengthen that bond by church relationships, interfaith-based connections. Where can we connect? What can we do to help? And there is a history of that too. In South Africa, like I said, Desmond Tutu was not the only one. There was radical Jewish leadership that came throughout Europe, that came from the U.S., that helped sponsor and help get people like my father that were persecuted to safety. So I think that's what faith can be a guiding principle of all these movements, and then the church has a role of actually helping and facilitating this. I love solidarity. I love community, and I think sometimes we look into our own community and not look at it in a broader prospect, larger scope. We have beautiful, beautiful churches in this community. We need to do a better job of connecting them and connecting our resources so that way we can better serve our community. And that's one thing that I think going forward that I look forward to with all church groups coming together. If you come to the Hampton Hub, we're about a rainbow coalition. And coalition building takes being uncomfortable and meeting people where they're maybe in a different setting than where we're comfortable. So I'd encourage all of us to continue to allow faith to guide us and also allow us to think of what the role of church and church family plays and how to best serve not only our community, but also our higher power. I forgive me, get emotional thinking about my mom. My mom has given a lot to her community, her sons, and it's a real joy to be able to be up here and talk about her in such a loving way. But I would also talk about the work of prayer and positive energy, because we all know that there's going to be times where we go real down low, and I've seen my mom time and time again be able to use the power of prayer to uplift me, her whole community. So I'd encourage not to ever feel like, in the face of some of these huge, unsurmountable societal pressures and conflicts that we feel helpless at, that the power of prayer and positivity means a lot to me, means a lot to my brothers, to know that if there's folks praying for our community while we're out at night, it means the world. So I'll finish and I'll welcome to take questions, but I'd like to talk about John Lewis a little bit further as a man of faith and how he used his church family. He recently passed away, but until his dying days, he was still sitting at the floor of on the floor in the Senate and fighting for peace. He never lost his faith. And you think from the 60s to where we are now, there's a lot of energy that would have been. He had every right to feel, why haven't we gotten further? Why haven't we advanced further? But he stayed so grounded in his principles of faith, and today his kids are still preaching at his church, and that intergenerational love continues on. And so, as I said, I'm dedicated, and my family's dedicated, to end our intergenerational trauma, and I think that the only way that we can do that is through coalition building, solidarity. And so, to me, faith is based in solidarity. It can't just be our individual faith. There has to be something bigger together. And I think that's where the role of church and church family comes into play. So, I'll end it there, but thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Tyrell, does anyone like to pose a question or have a comment? Right off the bat, there's one.
I have to get it out there. This afternoon, as a matter of fact, the Regina Multi-Faith Forum is having their annual meeting, and their featured speaker is from the Regina Anti-Poverty Ministry. Oh. So there are multi-faith groups in Regina, yes, that are working together. Not everybody knows about it. Not everybody's connected, but it is there.
Yes, yes.
And
is that Peter or?
Yes, I believe so, yes, but I'm not 100% certain. And so, a couple of us will be going to that.
Excellent.
Anyone online with a question? Not seeing. What, Sandy?
Hi, and thank you. My name is Sandy. On your advertisements, you talk about Tuesdays and that you do some discussions or have some training. What do you do with respect to those days and the community?
So we call them Teaching Tuesdays, and often it's just throughout in the restaurant and in the community. I should say that the brewery is down the street from us. We're the restaurant, and we do serve their beer. It's wonderful. Check out the brewery. My family lives in the heritage community, and we have a very tight-knit group. And so often what the teachings come out of is whether it's a current event or some kind of conversation or someone we met. So there's a few people in here that have led teachings. We've talked about peace, We've talked about indigenous rights. But it really comes down to just being a communal response to wanting to have a discussion. I think that's Teaching Tuesday is not unlike, I'm sure, what goes on downstairs after church. And if you ever, anyone ever has an idea for a talk or anything, please reach out.
I'm wondering if you're planning anything in solidarity with the Palestinian people. I was very impressed with your remarks at the demonstration yesterday. Your message was very powerful and well received. And it was great to see so many young people there.
Yes. Yeah, I think that even, and I wonder if, and I guess I would pose this as a question, I'm sure that this is the same work that you guys are doing, that we try to be as responsive to the communal needs as we can. So with the Palestinian community, as young as it is, there's lots of folks that have been doing this for a while in the city, and we wait actively to hear what the community needs, and then we try to utilize our resources as best we can. So I know that there's two different marches or actions that are taking place. I think this next upcoming weekend, I think Remembrance Day, there's supposed to be another action. I tend to think it's tough in the city. You don't get to hear until like 48 hours before the event, and you have to be quick. So check all your socials, talk to folks. I definitely think that, going back to how I talked about solidarity and I'm talking about faith. To me, Jesus is a radical Palestinian socialist. So it would be, I don't know how we, as Christian communities, are we not out on the streets demanding a ceasefire immediately? And so in that multi-faith organizing, you know, I think anything to call for a ceasefire and any way that we can raise and elevate all of our joint voices together, I think that's the way to do it. So short answer, yes. Do I know when? No.
The new groups that formed in Regina recently called Warm Welcome. I don't know if anybody's heard of it here. It was started by Russell Mitchell Walker, who is the minister at the Eastside United Church. And many of the members are, you know, faith-based. And then there are, in addition, some people from community organizations and then some sort of individuals' interests like me. I'm just there as an individual. In any case, its goal is to, since nobody will do anything and winter is here and there are many of the people that Tiro was referring to out there in the snow with no place to go, to provide a warming space during winter over in the core area. I mean, it's not a solution to houselessness, and you feel like it's a stopgap measure, but maybe to stop people from losing fingers and toes or their lives, it seems to be necessary. There's one other warming space in Regina. It is in North Central, All Nations Hope. There's nothing over in the sort of core area. So this group is hoping to get it up and running by January 1st through till April 30th. Mm. There are financial issues, but one hopes they're going to be solved in one way or another. I guess I was wondering if the Unitarians would want to be added to the email list to come to the meetings, which
we've had a representative.
You have there.
Excellent.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm wasting people's time then. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And I was just going to mention quickly that I know, like, we're actively, like, we might have a sit-in coming up right away. We don't know. There's no dang plan to what's going to happen. We've already, last week, we lost another member from the encampment. It's tough to see someone and see them the week before and say hi. They looked great, and tragically, with as winter changed, as the weather has changed, we got to see our community members and know their faces, and their safety was so much easier. It's really, really hard to find people now and see how they're doing. And it's really fearful when you see someone and you don't know if you're going to see them again. And that's something that really haunts us, is we search in the corners at night to find people to make sure they're okay. And then when you see them and have a good conversation, you almost hug them, not knowing if you're going to see them again. And it's a very, very scary feeling. And any action that you can do, I would just say, going back to how my mom with the giving, I've had some tough times as an activist, feeling really beat down from City Hall or wherever, and making soup. And I've had one woman that came up and said, that was the best bowl of soup. And I had to run in because I was bawling. And she didn't know that she made my day. And that's by giving. You never know what you're going to get in return. And that, she kept me afloat for like a week after that. I was on a high because I made the best soup, and she let me know about it, and it really filled my cup. And so, I don't know, for me, cooking is my love language, but find however you can help your church family and help in your broader community and fill your cup. Because my mom's not rich, but she is so wealthy, based upon how much giving she's given. And I think also, as she, I should have said, she started teaching on a reserve. So I was born in North Battleford, but she was a teacher at Red Pheasant and then Thunder Child. And I started daycare there. And then when we moved to Maple Creek, she worked at the women's the women's prison on the reserve. And I've been around a lot of white settler community. There's nothing like gift giving in the Indigenous community. If you have a pack of cigarettes and you're a white settler, that's your pack of cigarettes. If you're on reserve, that's it. Everyone has smokes now because there's one pack. And so that's something that always was, I think, shaped my family, is having that reserve, having so many people on reserve touch us that way, and reminding us that when you give, you never know how what you're going to get back in return, but you have no expectation.
Well, thank you very much, Tiro. It was really a great message you've presented today for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.